something that can go, or like the example we got from MakerBot was some guy in Germany designed a whistle, and then it was, well, good? Are we on? Designed a whistle, and then it was whistling around the world within 4 hours. That is amazing. Okay, so the question again is like, yeah, let's just do the same question again. What do you, why do you think this DIY attitude is springing forth right now?
So why do I think this DIY attitude is springing forth right now? I actually think that it's an attitude that has never died or never been absent from our culture or from cultures around the world. So for example, I grew up in a household where we made a lot of stuff and you know, making stuff and understanding how things worked and stuff. That was a big part of, for me, growing up and just stuff that I always loved to do. But when I was a kid, it was really hard for me to connect with other people who are interested in the same things. So if I figured out a really cool way to do beading, for example, to bead these 3D structures, that knowledge just kind of like fizzled. So I figured it out and I would spend a couple of months or something obsessing about this new technique. But then, you know, then I went on to other things and there was no way to share that knowledge really, no easy or natural way to communicate with a community of like-minded people. So I think what is so different and so exciting about today and what's happening right now is that this underlying human desire to work creatively and build stuff and do things that are challenging and interesting is now supported by the internet. And so the internet would have let me as a child communicate with all the other kids who are really excited about beading, and we could have pooled all of our technique resources and our materials resources and our design resources. And had we been able to do that, the whole domain would have grown, the whole community would have grown and flourished in all sorts of interesting ways. So the internet has kind of first and foremost allowed people to communicate in ways that they never were able to communicate before. So across long distances, and also has enabled people to communicate really quickly about things. But kind of above and beyond just the communication that the internet has made possible, it's made the manufacturing and distribution of goods, it has changed the dialogue and the structure of those things as well in profound and interesting ways that help the DIY community. So for example, just me as a single person, it's now really easy for me to go online, download some open source software that lets me design, say, a circuit board. I can send my design off to a circuit board company, and in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, depending on how much I'm willing to cough up, I can get a part back in the mail, and then I can use that part in my designs. Or kind of more interestingly, I can sell that part. So I can now, I can sell it maybe on Etsy or on eBay or, you know, through a variety of channels. And these new structures of distributed and accessible manufacturing and distributed and accessible retail channels are really, I think, are central to what is making the DIY movement right now so powerful. And I think, and I'm really hopeful, that it's going to completely change the structure of a lot of economic marketplaces and allow people, give people more freedom and opportunities to earn a living doing stuff that they actually want to do. So, you know, conceivably, I could now earn a living designing and building stuff and just selling it to other like-minded people, and kind of I can skip Target and Walmart and Best Buy in some ideal utopian vision, and I really think we're moving towards that. So
I think there are some examples of people that have been able to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure, like, there is Lady Ada.
Yeah.
Ada, sorry. And do you know of any other examples?
Well, so there's, I mean, certainly Nathan at SparkFun is, I think, a really interesting case study as well. I think I'm an interesting example, actually. I mean, right now, I earn my living as a professor more than anything else, but I could conceivably earn a living with the LilyPad project, and that's been one of the most like exciting and kind of amazing experiences. Is that wow? Like I could actually earn a living doing that. That just seems really powerful. I think probably some of the other people that you have talked to or will talk to in Boston, like Jimmy Rogers, I know he's done some wonderful projects, and I think he's just trying to start making a living doing this and not doing other things. So I think it's happening more and more. Yeah, I heard he was about to, so that's great.
I guess, so this distributed network of communication and distribution channels online is really helping people out in the DIY community. Why do you think right now a lot of them are banding together in physical spaces?
Yeah, so the connection between the digital universe and the physical universe is a really interesting one, and part of the research that's going to happen in my group here, I hope we'll try to understand those relationships better. I think that the online, the growth of the online communities has grown, first of all, just grown in general, the number of people who are interested in doing DIY tinkering stuff. And it's also allowed people to connect with others who have similar interests who they might not have ever met before or connected with before. So especially if you are in a city like Boston or Denver or something, the movement enabled you to find and connect with other people who shared your own interests. And so it's natural that this group of people would now want to gather in physical spaces. So I think the Dorkbots is a really great example of kind of the interplay between those physical and virtual communities. So in a sense, Dorkbot is this online entity, and it started in a certain way, and it's kind of spread out from the origin through virtual communities, but then it also has this really strong local like get together and meet and talk component. So I'm not sure how to capture all of the richness between those interplays, but I think they're really interestingly connected, and that it'll be interesting to try to understand more how they're connected and related.
Cool. Well, it is 6 o'clock. If you wanted to talk a little bit about the wall behind you and what like basically, I want to talk about what excites you most, and then that will be our last question. So, do you want to talk about your wall, or you want to talk about what were some of the other questions that we were thinking about?
I think we covered most of them.
Yeah. So, you want to talk projects?
Yeah, cool. Sure.
So,
I can talk a little.
We might even lift the camera. What do you think?
Yeah, we can stand up.
Yeah, we can probably like lift the camera and get close and maybe focus on like this is this part and this is this part and this is why this thing is exciting. I think. Like, the why is more important than the how right here. So yeah, what is behind you this whole time? We've been like looking at this beautiful painting, but it seems to be doing a little bit more than just reflecting light into our retinas.
Yeah, so this is a project that is a relatively new project that I've been working on for past several months. In general, I would say as a designer and builder of stuff myself, what I'm most excited about is often materials and finding and using unexpected and unusual materials and unusual material combinations. So this is kind of part of a whole like family of projects that explore the potential of painted electronics, and what we're using magnetic paints and electronic paints to to create these painted or sketched functioning circuits. So what's happening here on the wall is that there's we've painted it first with magnetic paint, and then we've painted out a circuit with conductive paint. So all of the parts that you see in this kind of light gray on the wall are conductive paint. And then we built a series of magnetic electronic modules. So these are little circuit boards that have magnets attached to them. And so they can stick to the wall. And then if you attach them to some of the circuitry on the wall, they'll actually function. So right now, each pattern in the wallpaper has two output lines, so one here and one here. A place for a microcontroller, so this is a little teardrop microcontroller, and these are actually screwed into the wall, which is kind of another really interesting thing that you can do with components when you kind of rethink their footprint and rethink the way, I don't know, the materials that you use to build electronics. So these are actually electrically connected to the circuitry on the wall with screws. And you'll notice there that when I touch this, you got some behavior. So the other component of the wall is that each of these pink flowers is a capacitive touch sensor. So right now, we're starting to build a series of applications that just explore this whole surface. So what could you do, and what would you want to do if you could program your wall and interact with it like this? So some of the other things we're playing with, this is a magnetic daughter board that snaps onto the microcontroller board. This is a Bluetooth daughter board, so we can use this. And once that's snapped on, we can have the wall talk to other devices and control other devices, and vice versa. So we can have the wall, for example, control your stereo or your toaster or whatever, or we can have the wall, say, record environmental data and send it to like a website or something like that. So I think there are just a whole bunch of possibilities to explore here, and we're starting to play with them. So
I think I think the world, the future is going to be beautiful.
I agree. Yes, I agree. And I think that's another thing that's often neglected by the hacker community that I think is so important to the experience of being human. So
I wasn't liked.
But that's fine.
I'll have to
overdub it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm really glad to be able to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking some time.
Good luck with the project. Yeah. I'm really psyched to see how it goes
it's been really interesting. And really, like, the lily pad has been brought up in a couple of the hackerspaces that we've been to, but not many. And this is something, like, I don't know how you can excite people a little bit more. Or maybe send out a couple of prototypes to a few of you.